Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Federal law requires public schools in North Carolina to enroll undocumented students. But a new report from the Children's Law Clinic at Duke finds some school systems are making it very difficult for the students to enroll. Duke Law Professor Jane Wettick joins us now to talk about it. Well, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
It's good to be here.
Let's talk about the report about undocumented children in North Carolina schools. What prompted the report?
Well, a student of mine here at Duke Law School was particularly interested in this topic, and he had done some study of the issue and decided that could be a problem here in North Carolina with regard to immigrant children and presented it to me. And so we just together decided it was worth looking into and making some data public.
And I guess for folks who aren't familiar with the issue, I hope everybody understands, but the law does make it clear that we are obligated to educate undocumented kids.
Absolutely. And that's been the explicit case since 1982 when the U.S. Supreme Court was faced with the issue because a Texas law had required that immigrant children, undocumented immigrant children, pay tuition to go to the public schools. And that case wound its way to the Supreme Court. And the U.S. Supreme Court, in a case called Plyler versus Doe, made it very clear that all children living in a school district, even undocumented children, are entitled to be enrolled in the public schools.
And I guess that last phrase is the key to the report, right? That enrolled, and how do they do that? That's where all this the issues arise.
Right, exactly.
So let's talk about some of the barriers that are put up. You found that roughly 60% of our districts inhibit that enrollment in some way.
Right. We looked at a variety of things that were able to be researched, which include what kind of proofs someone must produce to show residency, to show age, and then there's some other things they were requesting. Some districts are requesting social security numbers and photo IDs, parental photo IDs. So there were a variety of ways that some districts are making it more challenging for an immigrant family to prove what it needs to prove to live in the district.
Yeah, I guess these things are, I was just thinking of the first two, proof of residency and proof of age. There are a wide range of documents that can prove that, and it seems that those, what a school district accepts varies pretty widely.
That's true, and in North Carolina, the state law doesn't mandate the types of documents that must be produced. So it's left to the school districts for the most part. And so what we saw in this study was that there is quite a range among the districts about what they ask for. And some are flexible, some are not so flexible, and some make it a lot more difficult by requiring either, for example, in the area of age, a certified birth certificate. Well, a lot of third world countries don't certify their births. So people would come here and that's just not a document they can produce. But they might have a religious record or they might have a medical record or some other family record that verifies the age of the child. And districts that accept those various documents instead of strictly requiring a certified birth certificate make it easier for an immigrant to produce the right document.
It's interesting. You mentioned Social Security number. Obviously, the Social Security number is a big issue in the undocumented community. And I wonder how much of this is intimidating to the parents of these undocumented kids.
Well, very much so, I think. We did find that nearly a quarter of the school districts request a Social Security number without indicating that it's optional or voluntary. And the federal law requires that any time a Social Security number is asked for, it must be clear that the request is voluntary or the complying with the request is voluntary. And we see that that's not the case in a quarter of our districts where they are requiring the parents to come up with a Social Security number, which, of course, undocumented immigrants can't do.
And I wonder, given the political climate that we're in now, it must be even more daunting for the parents to some of whom are also obviously they're undocumented as well. If their children are, most likely, they'd be leery of going to the school.
Well, right. You know, that's something that these families have to face. And when we're in a climate where there seems to be some animosity towards undocumented immigrants and an increasing number of them being deported and being at risk of deportation, they're worried. And of course, then that can result in them deciding not to show up at the local school district, and then their children are deprived of education, which of course nobody really wants for any child in society to not have education. It's such an important right.
Let's talk about what we should do about it. The report does come with a lot of recommendations. I guess the first one would be that, to me, would be that, can we count on state policymakers to sort of step in and have some uniformity across the state?
Maybe. As I said, the state law to date has left this to school districts, and there's no particular reason that it has to be state law. The school boards themselves can certainly step to the plate and make policy decisions at the district level that say we want to be flexible because we want to make sure that these children are educated and are educated in our schools if they're entitled to be here. So it certainly can be local policymakers as well as state policymakers. And in this climate, I'm inclined to think that at the local level might be more successful. I think, for example, having all the enrollment information available on a website in both English and Spanish, and if there's another dominant language, a dominant second language in the district, having that all available on the web is a really simple thing that a school district could do. And they don't all do that. Making sure that their residency requirement documents are flexible, accepting a number of types of documents. We didn't talk about cell phone bills, for example, are often the only bill that an immigrant family might have in its own name, particularly when the family first arrives and they may be doubled up with a relative or a friend. They're not going to have a lease in their own name, but often they get a cell phone quickly and they'll have that as proof of where they live. And so those kinds of local policies can go a long way.
Well, let's hope that local school boards do the right thing. We really appreciate you putting this together and being with us. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Up next, how policymakers are responding to the needs of seniors in North Carolina. Stay tuned.